this edition of WBOI's Field Notes. Notre Dame collected a big win over IU in last week's inaugural college football playoff game. Victoria Jacobson from the Journal-Gazette was there, and she shares her experience from South Bend. We'll close out with notes on the Colts, Comets, Pacers, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson is taking some time from her busy schedule to get us started as well. Notre Dame defeated Indiana 27-17 in college football's inaugural playoff game in South Bend last week. You were there Friday night. The low temperature was 22 degrees, but in typical Midwest fashion, that did not keep people away from the game. Tell us a little bit about the atmosphere in general.
Yes, so I was in the press box, so I can't claim to be all that tough, but about 77,000 of our friends were pretty tough on Friday night. One thing that I noticed was that when they opened the gates, the student section started to fill up really quickly. There were a noticeable amount of students before they even started the countdown clock to show that there were 90 minutes until kickoff time. So a lot of people spent a lot of time in the stands. There were talks about how many IU fans are going to be there, how many Notre Dame fans are going to tough it out. And the place was as full as could be. Didn't look to be a single empty seat in the place. There definitely were IU fans there, but it was kind of just a sprinkling here and there outside of their designated sections. So there were an awful lot of fans who did what it took to make it on Friday night.
As for the game itself, the Irish set the tone early with the 98-yard opening touchdown from Jeremiah Love. They never really looked back from there. What did you like from Notre Dame on Friday?
Well, I like that 98-yard touchdown, for one thing. Because of everything that went on, it was easy to forget about this. But on his first pass of the day, Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard, his pass was deflected and then picked off. All of a sudden, IU is now threatening to score. They could go up 7-0 in this first ever college football playoff. That'd be a great start for an IU team on the road in an opponent's house. Xavier Watts just totally erases that threat right there. Jeremiah Love touchdown. All of a sudden, momentum is completely swinging. And so they really eliminated a situation that could have been really, really negative for the Irish. And then after having his very first play of the game picked off, Riley Leonard really settled down. The way that the IU coaches talked about him in the press conference, it was pretty clear that they considered him to be a menace. Played really well for the rest of the night. So that was really exciting to see. They didn't really pull out the bag of tricks all that much in this game. Didn't really need to. I think that that's something that they're going to do more against Georgia. So I think that's something to look out for.
Strength of schedule notwithstanding, this closes the book on a magical IU football season. What are some positives that the Hoosiers can take away from Friday's loss?
I don't want to sound like I'm giving them a moral victory or participation trophy, but I really think that getting to the college football playoff is such an enormous boon for this IU program, which has never been able to do anything like this, really. Obviously, this is the first year of the 12-year playoff, but for the last 50 years, they haven't really been talked about as a team that even really had a track to a national title. They didn't come close to it in this playoff, but to even have the opportunity to perform on this stage with the biggest names in the sport, I think that that's really exciting for the IU players. I think that that is something that Kurt Cignetti will be telling players as he recruits in the transfer portal and in high schools going forward. It shows you how far you've come and also some of the things that you're going to need to do if you want to be back here in the next couple years. And there's some thought that IU is going to take a step back in the next year. Maybe that is going to be the case. But if you look at their schedule for next year, it's actually still manageable. So it's not outside the realm of possibility that IU could be putting together another pretty good record, especially when compared to the doldrums that they've been in the past. So I think that there's still a lot of reason to be optimistic if you're IU.
Christmas is also behind us, but as you shared last week, this remains a busy time in the local sports scene. What are some things that you'll be keeping an eye on as we go into the weekend?
Yeah, so I know we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but we have the Homestead Tournament for high schoolers this weekend. So again, some of the top teams in the area, both Homestead and Carroll, and then teams from across the northern part of the state. And then something else to look forward to moving forward, gymnastics season is starting up. that season is a winter sport, just like basketball, swimming, and wrestling. But because it requires so much practice to even begin to accomplish in a competent or safe manner, typically their competitions start much later in the season. So we're finally going to get to see some of those gymnastic meets, which is kind of exciting.
Victoria Jacobson with her hand on the pulse of all things Indiana sports this week and all the time for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here today.
Thank you.
It'll be a minute before Notre Dame's next game. They'll take on Georgia in the Sugar Bowl down in New Orleans next Wednesday with an 8:45 kickoff. Late start, but it should be a lot of fun. On the NFL side of things, the Colts remain in the playoff hunt, however slim the chances appear. They still have a 15% chance to break through the bubble in the next 2 weeks. A win Sunday increases that to just 21%. They're headed to East Rutherford to face the NFL worst New York Giants Sunday. Kickoff is at 1. The Seattle Seahawks will look to keep their playoff hopes alive tonight for Thursday night football at Soldier Field against the Bears. We have 3 Saturday games this week, all with playoff implications. I'll definitely be watching the first two. The Chargers will look to further secure their placement in the bracket against the Patriots at 1. Then the Bengals can really make things interesting if they can pull off a win in Denver at 4:30. Cardinals and Rams will conclude the evening. The Fort Wayne Comets split their weekend set against the Indy Fuel and entered the holiday break 15-8-1 with 31 points on the year. Practices resume this evening, then they're back on the Coliseum ice for 2 home games over the weekend. They'll host Cincinnati Saturday with a 7:35 puck drop, then the Fuel return Sunday with a 5 p.m. start time. The Indiana Pacers have won 5 games in a row and are back at 500. Things look like they're starting to turn around after 2 big wins on the road out west against Sacramento and Golden State before the holiday. Things do not get any easier from here, though. They have the 23-5 Oklahoma City Thunder tonight, and 2 in a row against the Boston Celtics, ending the year against the in-season tournament champion Milwaukee Bucks. Even splitting these games with 2 wins would be encouraging. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. You can also hear segments from the podcast live on 89.1 WBOI at 7:44 a.m. and 4:44 p.m., also on Thursdays. Happy holidays to you and yours. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Production for Field Notes is provided by Brittany Smith. Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.